most people that are happy in their jobs is because their job fulfills their needs in more than just a monetary way, right? They're satisfied, job satisfaction. I can't get any job satisfaction if I'm just recreating something. I can't wrap my head around not wanting to be slightly different in stuff you do.
Don't copy other people's designs. Don't make your whole industry look the same. You're not going to stand out. And it's just a lack of confidence in what you're doing yourself as well.
Artificial art would, to me, be a computer expressing itself in its own terms. That would interest me way more than, like, if Wes Anderson made Star Wars.
Welcome to Well, You're the Designer, the podcast that surfs the waves where the ocean of client expectation crashes onto the shore of graphic design reality. I have with me Richard Kemp.
I can't deny it.
And Matt Bruti.
It's true.
Seasoned graphic designers who specialise in delivering high-quality work under tight deadlines and even tighter budgets. We're here to talk about the way clients communicate their needs to graphic designers and the pitfalls they have to navigate to arrive at effective results. Each week, we pick a typical client demand that maybe reveals a gap between their expectations and the practical limitations of time and budget. A request or comment that might be unhelpful to the process, delay sign-off, or even endanger the quality of the final results. My name's Danny Powell, and with a background in briefing in graphic design jobs, I'm here to represent the other side of the client-designer relationship and hold these two to account. At the end of our chat, we'll wheel in the clangometer. Each of our designers will give this week's client request a score from 1 to 10 on the clangometer, 1 for a reasonable request and 10 for a complete client clanger. And number 3 is, can you just copy this design, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad, isn't it? Because it's just...
That's, I mean, more than anything, it's just plagiarism.
Well,
right?
Copying's, yeah.
Completely, you know, I've been on the receiving end of that where people have copied stuff I've done.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's so offensive. Like, just get your own ideas.
Yeah.
Have the confidence in your own ability to brand yourself and talk about what you want to talk about. And I've sat with people that have sort of, you know, at the start of a brief going, let's have a look at what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
It's just like, it winds me up, that one. Because you've got your own skills,
your
own imagination.
Yeah.
And you don't want to copy someone. That's how like industries all start looking the same.
Yeah.
And it's people as well that just assume that because they've done it, it's actually successful. It might not be.
Yeah, that's
a good point.
So is it more that people want to be like a direct competitor, or do they want to be like Nike? Or
I think it's a confidence thing, because they're going to be paying for it. They want to know it's going to work. Da da da. And then they sort of, it's just, it gives them the confidence. It's like,
it's well, like when it's already been done, they assume it must work. Because
yeah, I think so.
Done it.
But it's the same in fashion retailing.
Yeah.
If people see it on the mannequin, you'll be surprised how many more people buy that because they've seen it on a figure, and it gives them that confidence that people need to make that leap. And
yeah, so it works. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Finish it up. It's so, zero on the clangometer.
Yeah.
Copy it. It works. But is there not a certain wisdom to that? If you're operating in a certain paradigm, you know, we've spoken before about construction companies.
Yeah,
and people they go with that
logo with a house and the roof, and then people, then surely their audience knows where they are when they see that, don't they?
Oh, so my experience is a bit different, maybe. So for me, it's more, I guess, that it's not necessarily because they're trying to capture a certain thing. It's just because, you know, they've seen something and they've gone like, oh yeah, that's all right. And then they don't want to think about it anymore. So they go, oh, just do that. Here's my photos. Swap out the photos. This is my phone number.
Mm.
Yeah. And maybe change the colour. Sometimes not. You know, I've seen some real things where it's just like, it literally just looks like the other person's flyer.
Mm.
But I think the point for me is, A, it's that thing again where I'm just like, well, this is kind of boring for me to do. It doesn't take any of my... It takes, like, my software knowledge to do it. Go, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to recreate this and I know how to use the text tool and the image tool. You're like, yeah. But in terms of actual creative thinking and problem solving, there's nothing there for me. So it's just...
It's not about you, though, is it?
Well, no, but to me, my job is about me. Like most people, right? Most people that are happy in their jobs is because their job fulfills their Yeah, their needs in more than just a monetary way, right? Mm. They're satisfied, job satisfaction. I can't get any job satisfaction if I'm just recreating something.
I really love a recreate. Yeah, just for a little weird break. Just a brain break. Like, you can just, like, just crack it out.
No, true, yeah. It is, like, a bit of downtime in a way, and you can, like, have a rest. But I guess we're not... Well, to be fair, we're not talking about it in that context, right?
No, okay.
Yeah? It's not like, well, you're the...
Yeah.
You know, chilling designer.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean, but some of them are so intricate, it's just, you know, I've had to recreate banners that are absolutely visually offensive. They're just horrible. There's all these bad choices, and I go, oh, we just need this just recreated. Normally roller banners, because they've created themselves, but they can't, because they're big, aren't they, roller banners? They're like, you know, 1 by 2 meters, and that's big, right? Mm. So even the mighty, you know, C-Place can't create stuff at the resolution that you need for a roller banner.
Mm.
So you do kind of get that thing where, and I know it's a bit different because it's like maybe their thing, but you know, you have to spend hours, I'm being a bit dramatic, but you have to spend a fair amount of time finding all these images, finding all these different things they've put on there. But for me, that's part of it, right? It's just boring to do.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no satisfaction in it. And then the other thing is, it's like, why would you want to look exactly the same as a competitor for every, if the thinking is, oh, you know, some of their customers will now assume I'm them somehow, right? Or their potential market, right?
Well, that's the most cynical baseline.
Yeah, so it's most cynical thing.
Is actually trying to trick someone into thinking that you're the same as someone else.
Right, so the best you're going to get, right, is like, you know, half the people are going to go to you thinking you're them, but the other half are going to go to them thinking they're you.
Right.
Yeah. So it just, to me, it must just even out in the end anyway.
But then when you've got, when you've got 3 or 4 or 5 companies crossing over all doing the same thing, it's just like, you know.
Well, it's like.
You flick through a magazine, like say, you know, for a certain industry, and it just, nothing stands out. It's just like.
Right, because everyone's doing the same thing. So not that long ago. One of those things probably isn't be long ago now, I reckon. Yeah, it was nearly a quarter of a century. So you had the, you know, like the head candy. Yeah? Do you remember head candy? Ibiza.
And there was whoever. I'm thinking Skull Candy. Skull Candy's the headphones.
Yeah,
head candy's like Balearic house.
Yeah, that illustrated kind of style on the front.
Yes. So there was an illustrator, I don't know their name, that developed this
ladies
very successful,
with aviator shades and
glossy, maybe like a little bit almost like Art Deco kind of style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it was everywhere, right? It was on all the Ministry of Sound. I probably got it completely wrong because it's just not my scene, but that thing. So, and then people would, especially because you do more club flyers, then they'll come and go, oh, you know, can I have it like in the head candy style?
Yeah.
And obviously back then as well, there was, although the internet was up and running and pretty good, there wasn't what there is now with so much opportunity to like get high res images. People hadn't started curating stuff off their own back. So it'd be like, well, have you got, you know, £2,000 to pay an illustrator to make your own bespoke thing? And they go, oh no, just get something off Google. It's just like, well, how good do you think a 30 kilobyte Google image is going to be? Because obviously the guy, don't know if it was a guy, but you know, the person who, the illustrator, was like pretty savvy. So you couldn't get loads of ripped stuff to slap on things. Yeah. And then they go, oh yeah, but can, instead of holding the glass, can they be holding something else? Instead of facing that way, can they, especially if they supply the image, oh, here's a 27 kilobyte thumbnail. Can we have it on an A5 flyer? Can we have this lady's hair blue, that person facing the other way but wearing trousers, not a skirt? Can this person be...
You're describing prompts for AI.
Yeah, you really are.
No, but that's actually more achievable now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, illustration.
But they'd want the right amount of fingers, I'm guessing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. We can joke about AI like not getting fingers right, but I'm sure next year it will be. So how do we feel about that? I mean, if...
What about AI in general?
If there was the equivalent of head candy today and someone
just
wanted something generated.
That's fine. They could go there and I wouldn't have to think about it. That's fine with me.
Would you be happy using AI yourselves and putting a generated image on a flyer?
I don't. So I you know, I am old and I don't really like the idea, not just because I'm old, because of who I am. I'm not, like, AI to me is exciting. You know, I'm a bit of a sci-fi fan. I like the idea of it, you know, like the Culture series. Yeah. And you've got that whole thing. But AI art, and, you know, I lurk on a couple of design forums and there's some threads there with some, like, really good AI, because they are graphic designers and visual artists that are really going to town and creating these really elaborate, beautiful pieces using AI. You know, for every, I wonder what it would look like if Wes Anderson made Star Wars, there's someone actually really trying hard, yeah, to, like, make something really incredible. So that's kind of cool. But I maybe more as a tool, I kind of like things so I can do stuff that I like. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Or the complete extreme, what I'd really like to have happen is that AI, the, you know, that side of it, the art side of it, almost becomes self-aware and realizes that all it's doing is regurgitating humans' idea of art, and maybe the robots have this, like, mad idea of what art is, but they can't express it in a way that we can consume it. And, you know, they just start spitting out these files and we don't know what the file type is, right? But actually, if we could open that file, it would be just some mad that we would find incomprehensible. And that's what they call art. Yeah, actual artificial art would, to me, be a computer expressing itself in its own terms. That would interest me way more than, you know, here's The Wizard of Oz, but made in the 70s.
Yeah.
Posts on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Actual AI art.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even see it.
I think I'd use it if it was brief. There'd have to be, again, it would almost have to be a separate brief for the illustration. But that's an almost a project in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prompting the AI.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to show the client, go back and forth. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think what Richard doesn't like about AI is that it's derivative, but we're getting a brief in where they want something derivative of something else.
Oh, yeah.
So we can, that's fine. We can feed in their original thing. Sure. So. Yeah.
But as long as someone else can do that and I can go and do something more rewarding.
Well, and you were talking about that earlier about being bored doing recreation type work.
Yeah.
I mean, is it important that
it can be satisfying designer... sometimes? I'll agree with Matt. Sometimes, where you actually, but for me, it'd be more like specific areas like, you know, we need this logo redrawn or, you know, something like that, rather than like, here's a whole hideous object, spend your time recreating this monstrosity. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't want to.
Like your roller banners you mentioned. I mean, do you see design out there in the wild and you think, the guy that did that was bored, or he had no passion for that, or she had no passion for that. Like, is it important for the outcome, for the results, that the designer was engaged and into it?
I don't think any passion for that particular subject. Like, I don't mind what the subject is.
Yeah.
I think it's more about whether you can get your teeth into the process, right?
Yeah.
And if you're asked to copy something.
When you're saying about that, you see your design, I often think, that's been designed by a committee, like we talked about before. Yeah. You can often spot those ones where something's been really compromised.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell by looking at something how passionate the person was, because, you know, you don't know, do you, right? So you could get stuff that looks really good, but for all you know, that's like an established design that they've been doing for years. And then it's just updating the dates. And like a bit of the copy, and they're just like, if I have to do one more of these, I'm going to go home and, like, you know, frown at the dog. But to the first viewer, if that first initial layout and design they'd done, I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to get all this work and I'm into it. And they make this like wicked layout and design. Yeah. But then what you see is that original design, but with different copy on. And so I think it's hard to tell. You don't know particularly, but I think, there must be some, you know, most things probably go like, I'm just bored of it.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, you can be satisfied when you've finished and go like, I did do that. So I'll claw whatever satisfaction I can from it. But
so if I'm a client and I'm briefing something in, is it in my interests give you a bit of free rein to get something back that's got a little bit of something behind it, a little bit of interest and engagement from the designer.
Yeah, I think that's...
But I think people want to be in control as well, don't they? I think giving you something to copy off is their idea of being in control of it, whereas if I... It is a fine line, isn't it? Because you don't want me to say, do whatever you like, I'll know it when I see it. We've talked about that. Yeah, we don't like that. We don't, nor do we like do it exactly like this. There's a sweet spot.
Well, yeah, but it's fairly broad sweet spot. I wouldn't say it's not like a fine line or anything.
It's more about what they want to achieve with the design. That's it. The brief should be more about what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
Who's seeing it? You know, that's our branding or whatever.
Mm.
And then the designer does the stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess some people get maybe conflate the content with the, like, this is going to sound good. They confuse content with intent, right? So there's two parts to a brief, isn't there? This is like, this is what we want it to do.
Mm.
And then that should inform what it says, what the actual wording and text and stuff on the design is.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's not natural to kind of grasp that. So you would go, well, they're not connected in any way. So this is my text and this is what I want it to do. And they don't always match up.
Hmm.
Prime example, I've had a design request come through this week. It's a control panel. They build control panels like an engineering company for all sorts of industries and stuff like that. Now, I like it because I love the aesthetics of control panels, especially old ones. I love the material they're made of, and it's got lights. Yeah, you've got to love a control panel.
Yeah.
And if I could, I'd have a shed that was just walls and walls of all these blinking lights and switches and dials, and I would just go and stand and look at it and be happy. Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is quite cool. But what it asked for essentially was just two roller banners, and they'd done that. I mean, this might even be an episode one day where you get client photos where they are like, they're really trying hard, but I am I'm a terrible photographer. Right? I'm just really not, I just haven't got that eye. So, but what they do is they go, and other industries do it as well, like restaurants are really bad for it. They basically go, right, everyone out, and they get everyone out, and then they just take these photos of these like lifeless, empty spaces.
Mm.
And then they go, oh, so we make control panels. So they take a photo of the control panel, but obviously they get as much of the control panel in as possible in the frame, and then go, yeah, that's good. Right. And it's just like folders and folders of photos of that quality and ilk.
Yeah.
And then the copy on the banner was just like what we do, and then just bullet points, and then sectors we work in, and then a list of bullet points with all these badly composed images scattered around it. It's like, you know, like something like this, here's all the images. But they were open, open to discussion and feedback. But the thing that caught my eye was on the brief, it's like, oh, we need some roll banners because we really, we find it hard to get young people in the industry as a whole, and in the company in particular.
So these were for recruitment. This isn't product. This is roller come banners. And work for us.
Yeah, yeah, to go to some sort of, careers fair,
right,
and go and talk to college leavers. So that's 18 to 22, something like that. Right.
Mm.
So that bit, right, and he sounded like sincere, enthusiastic and open to suggestions and things like that. But he said, we really want to engage these young people and try and convince them this is an exciting option for them and a worthy option. Here's some pictures of some bleak, empty offices and close-ups of these industrial control panels and the inside of silos and things like that. So to me, you can say that's what you want to do, but you can't do that using the things you've provided.
Yeah.
You know, and in an excellent turn of events, I took the chance, I give him a call, and we had a chat, and I was like, and he was really gracious and just like, I know, okay, that's fair enough, that's a fair point. I was like, just look at that photo of the office, it doesn't, that's not what is going to attract your average like 18-year-old, is it? Mm. Oh, here's a, you know, and it wasn't like one of those. I said, you've got to think that nowadays, offices, the way they're portrayed, especially by companies trying to, you know, like everyone's like playing ping pong, aren't they? And like on their phone, you know, just like that stereotyped kind of, you know, almost patronizing thing where it's just like, oh, yeah, that's what workplaces are like now. Everyone's all hipsters and, you know, you've all got coffee makers and all that stuff. Mm. They're not, and these ones look proper, you know, proper like early 80s or something, you know. Lots of beige, lots of those.
Carpet tiles.
Carpets. Yeah, yeah, that kind of vibe, right? Oh, okay. Just like, just bleak, basically. Just bleak. So it might be a great place to work, you know, once you're there and the people are there and you go, yeah, sure, it's fine. You know, and it's like obviously an engineering firm, so they're not going
to
be.
So if you said to them, get some space hoppers, put them in the photos, just.
Yeah. Grow a mullet. But ironically, they come flooding in. No, but we had a chat and he was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, that's fair enough. But so I can't remember why.
Are they going to act on that? Are they going
to? I don't know. We sent the quote. So okay. I hope so, man. Could be. Okay. He was like open to some brochure work and stuff later.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of when you've been given something to copy as inspiration in inverted commas, so is it something that you have actually sort of had to grit your teeth and just get on with and do in the past?
It's a similar thing to when we were talking about when you're given a proof that blatantly another designer's done that's got a watermark on it and sort of it feels the same as that, doesn't it? Like just
feels a bit dirty.
Yeah.
Although, if I'm completely honest, sometimes it depends on the quality of the design.
Right.
Because, you know, I think you get some chances out there on like the freelancing sites, you know?
Right.
They go like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a graphic designer, right? And then when I look at their business card and it's like some weird size and shape between a business card and A7 and it's low res. I mean, it might be because it's the proof, but, you know, the typography is terrible, the logo's been distorted, and I kind of think I feel less bad about that, I guess, than like something that's actually been done by a full-on professional.
Yeah.
But I think the full-on professional probably will have, you know, certain clauses and things like that, so you don't see it as much. It tends to be stuff that looks a bit more like it's off like Fiverr, or is that still a thing? One of those things, you know?
Yeah.
Like the lower end. Where someone's gone, oh, I only want to pay $10 for a business card design, and then they get $10 worth of design, and in which case, I don't. I think it's almost a victimless crime.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you're only prepared to pay $10 and you're prepared to work for $10, then I don't think you've got too much to complain about. If that person who's shown he doesn't care by only paying $10, you've shown you don't care by accepting it, then. Yeah. But maybe I'm just being a bit harsh.
But do people tend to want to take influence from, you know, competitor down the road, or do you get like something from a global brand saying, oh, we want this?
Yeah. No. Well,
the closest thing, there was a phase where everyone wanted everything to look like, you know, iPhone packaging. So I put I in front of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the paving company that wanted their logo? It started off with, it's quite a nice brief.
What, the imprint in concrete
one? I don't think it was that. I don't think that. They might have done that. I don't know. But it was quite a nice brief to do a logo for a paving company. There's lots of opportunities there, aren't there?
Yeah,
You're picturing sort of patterns and bricks or whatever. And again, I think this guy went through, he sort of expired one of our designers, like, and then he came back a few months later after I'd started, and he expired me as well, and then like months
trying to get a logo,
trying to get a logo, like, but he was one of these people that just sort of nothing constructive back, you know, just sort of nah, don't like that, and then sort of months later, sort of driving down the road, and you see like the same name, but he's just done that, like, it's like the Google ad. Google logo.
But
he did just like a similar font to Google back then, which had the serif.
Yeah.
And then similar colours, and for some reason they put an accent on the E of P. I won't say it, but yeah, it's hilarious. But obviously, he wanted to tap into that, you know, Google success.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the way. That's a dead cert, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a way for people to hook onto trends as well. They can see what's current and show you something and say we want to.
Yeah, but trends are trends still
exist.
Right?
The trends still exist, though. I think it's just a big.
I mean, no, they do. Really, right? They do. There may be because. I don't know, like, I guess because of the whole internet thing, now all the things that were truly underground, all those people kind of get together, right? So I think the niches have a bigger voice in a way, right? In all areas of life, yeah? So Everyone's much more aware of the things they're not into than they would have been, say, 20 years ago if you weren't into... Well, you know, the whatever it's called, you know, like the real life role play thing, yeah, LARPing, yeah. Right. So, if you didn't know about LARPing and you weren't into LARPing, you wouldn't know about LARPing.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I know about LARPing because I've seen the internet, so I know what, yeah, live action role playing. Yeah. No, oh, okay, yeah, it's, you know, it's quite cool, right? So, people, you know, imagine you're playing Dungeons and Dragons,
right.
But you dress up and play it in real life outside with like large amounts of people and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty rad, right? So I think there's that. That's probably maybe disguised the trend. So they're still there doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine they're like waves going up and down, but like the kind of the seabed in a way is like risen. So the waves don't look... I know it's not how the sea works, but like, the waves don't look as high relative to everywhere else because everything else has come up a bit in like the collective global consciousness.
Trends just come round because of boredom, I think, don't they? They're just like sort of... Everything's like going round and round.
You know,
and
it's
just...
like you can... You know, you can see it, can't you? It's just like... It's just the way humanity works. So when you look at all the like... Say the psychedelic posters from the 60s, and like, what are they? At the time, I was just like, well, these are crazy. But now I've learnt a bit more about things. I go, oh, right, that's just like them taking Art Nouveau and putting their twist on it.
Mm.
And then a lot of the stuff now, all the like current kind of like layouts and fonts, a lot of that, I think, is, I know there's like the 2K thing Oscar was chatting about as well that is coming through, but a lot of the other stuff, like a lot of the like modern fonts that are a bit more decorative, to me, that is a direct reference to the psychedelic stuff. That's what it reminds me of. Like, you know, you probably know as well, right? You know, all the like Nouveau based stuff, which is a thing. So I think, you know, trends is fine because it kind of comes around and people go, oh, it's that. But also, you know, like my son, he's 16 and he's, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, been getting into the Smiths lately. It, to me, it's like, oh, okay. It's like, oh, yeah, I quite like them, you know? So it's quite mad, like, because... And then I think, well, is it really? Because when I was his age, I was listening to actually a lot of stuff from, like, the 50s and 60s.
Mm.
So I guess, you know, it is that thing, isn't it? You think you found something, but actually it's something really old that your parents probably go, like, what's the big deal? That's just that really normal thing.
Then it make you feel old. Like, when, like, sometimes Oscar... who works with us, who's 20?
Oscar
about 20. Yeah. And he'll say about trend or something. Yeah. And then you sort of think, I remember that the first two times round.
Yeah.
I look so 90s.
I love that, retro. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Like now people say, oh, can I have it retro? It's just like, at least pick a decade. Because it just covers, you know, my whole adult life now pretty much is seen as retro.
Well, retro goes, and then it goes into vintage and antique, doesn't it? Because we had this chat, we dealt with, you know, Lorna, who does the retro clothing.
Yeah, Latham Street.
Yeah, and that's, so I think, is it about 30 years? You go back 30 years.
Oh, for
and
retro.
Then after that,
and then retro it's
becomes vintage.
Yeah.
But I think it's easier to latch on to those cultural moments, like you say, because that was the time before everything was fragmented by the internet and everyone could be into their own specialist thing, like you're saying, Rich.
Yeah.
Like then there were these big cultural waves where you can, you know, pinpoint, like in the 60s, you can pinpoint almost by year when something was, you know, that was 66, that was 68 kind of thing. So I mean, trying to bring it back round, if at all possible, to copying designs. I guess back in those days, you'd have these movements, and that's how it happened, isn't it? Everyone saw what they were doing and went on that.
But do you think there's a difference between creating something in a particular style or to fit into a certain trend and going, this come through my door, I want it exactly the same, but can you just change the phone number and name of the company, essentially? Yeah, the contact details.
Yeah.
Everything else stays exactly the same. Mm. The layout, the bullet points, the, you know, the blurb, like everything, just change the phone number, the website, the logo. That's different, right, to like being...
Yeah,
and I think it's that, it just... I think mine, it just makes me like, it's just like, oh, come on, man, you care more than that, right? Surely you care more than that.
Yeah.
If this is your business and your livelihood and, you know, that sort of thing, surely you care more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah? You wouldn't, you know, get a dog and go, what's your dog called, to your neighbour? Goes, oh, he's called, like, he's called Sammy. Like, yeah, yeah, my dog's going to be called Sammy too. Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't do that, do you? What are you wearing today? I'm going to wear this.
People had that, though. I think people do need that confidence or... I think that does exist.
I think I'm at a disadvantage because I can't wrap my head around it.
I can't wrap
my head around not wanting to be slightly different in stuff you do. No, I've always struggled with that.
I think a lot of people have that security of being the same.
Or it's the cynical rip-off thing. Like those kind of doppelganger brands.
Yeah.
Like my kids think it's hilarious when they find some kind of off-brand version of something and it's called, you know, Prongles or whatever.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah. It was Nick's when we were kids. Do you remember Nick's?
Yeah. I think that's different to this. I think that is less likely to be the cynical thing and more like the, like, shruggy... Yeah, you know, oh, this is nice. Yeah, do that.
I think it's the confidence thing.
Yeah.
I think it's seeing that it exists already. That gives me confidence to do it. I think it's that.
And there's the thing, I brought it up before, I know, but that thing of industries having a look and feel like the barbershop pole and the pharmacist's cross and stuff like that. You want to give a fast one glance indication of who you are, what you're up to, what industry you're in.
Yeah, but like the barber's pole. Yeah, you're right, but that traditionally is outside the shop. So when you're outside, you go, where's the barber's? There it is, right? If everyone decided, oh, I like barber's poles, I'm going to have a barber's pole outside my shop as well, regardless of what their shop was selling, which to me is a bit like that in a way, yeah? So they're taking a thing and they're going... Mine's not like exactly the same, but I like the way this... I like how this looks, so I'm going to take that look and put it on my thing, right? Even though it might not be relevant. It's not always relevant. Yeah, but that's like
apples and oranges, isn't it?
No, because it's not always... I'm not saying the builder comes in with a builder flyer and goes like that. It could be anything. Go like, well, I'm selling my new face cream range and I've found this flyer advertising a new beer and I really like the way this is. Can I have it exactly the same, but, you know, with my stuff on?
Right.
So
and this does happen?
Probably not those exact examples. No, but yeah. So I think it's more like that. If I go, oh, that's a nice barber's pole, I'll put it outside my like fabric shop. Yeah. And then enough people do it, but go like, where's the barber? They've all got poles outside.
And then going to the bushes for a short back and sides.
Yeah. It's a great cut though, isn't it? Great cut.
Okay. So on the subject of copy this design, get briefed, and you get asked to duplicate something that they've sent along. Let's bring in the clangometer from 1 to 10, with 1 being a reasonable request and 10 being a complete client clanger. Where do we stand? Who wants to go first?
I'm going 10 on this one.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's there's a few reasons, but
yeah,
don't copy other people's designs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't make your whole industry look the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to stand out. And what was the other one?
That's boring. Boring to do.
Yeah.
Disrespect.
I didn't mind that bit. Although, that was the one bit I didn't mind.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go 9. Because I don't mind a recreate. But yeah, it's just wrong. And it's just a lack of confidence in what you're doing yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, sort yourself out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm supposed to be devil's advocate here, but I agree with all of that. How about you, Rich?
At least a 9. I think I'm giving the benefit of doubt, whereas I don't think everyone does it kind of takes that into account. They probably think, oh yeah, no, that's nice, and it'll be fine, everything's fine, and they'll be happy about it. And I haven't really thought about the things like that Matt mentioned, and I don't mean it with any ill intent and the rest of it, so I'm not going to give it like a full 10, but it's a strong 9.
I'll go 9. I like a recreate. I'm going 9.
Yeah.
Just to throw in a massive curveball right at the end.
Yeah.
You know, what if someone, you know, shows you like an 1890s advert for Lifebuoy soap or something like that, but they want their new brand to hark back to that? Like,
then I'd actually be quite excited. Quite good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would. I'd be like, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll be happy with
that. That'd be really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we're...
Yeah, that would be like, yeah. Yeah, as, you know, I know it goes down to 1. But I would probably, push it to 0 for that.
Yeah. Well, maybe,
that doesn't count.
I don't think that, although technically it does, you clever weasel. But, to me, that's a whole different thing. That's more, I really like this... I think the correct term probably be vintage style. And I want something in that ilk, right? Technically,
fair.
Maybe you're not so clever, because I would say it's different, but I get what you mean.
Right.
And it would, for me, no. That'd be a good day's work.
Yeah.
Okay.
My whole thought process for this argument has been about, if they've seen something current. Definitely.
The difference between plagiarism and influence is a debate that's raged through culture, isn't it? Like, how close can you get?
Yeah, it's true. But
stuff filters in as well.
Influence
is when
you take a range of materials and let it influence you, right? And go, oh, okay, they tend towards these colours and these shapes and this kind of layout and these typefaces. And then you go, right, I will put all this together and create something. If not new, then apart from those things. Whereas the topic this time isn't. It's like, and also it's never anything like that not that good anyway. It's always something fairly standard.
And if you do see you might see a nice little touch on a fly, think that's a good treatment.
Yeah,
you wouldn't use it in the same way on the same sort of thing. Like, you'd keep it in, for the future for something else. You wouldn't go out and try
I'd say
and copy
that's probably
something.
The difference, right, between influence and plagiarism.
Because I'm sure you guys all keep, like, little folders and little Pinterests and stuff like that with stuff that you like.
Yeah, of course.
Go back and have a look.
Yeah, because
it's nice.
Well, I was going to say the Klangometer spoken. I'm not entirely sure. If you've managed to pick up on what scores everything's got, then you've done better than me. But if you like what you've heard today, please like and subscribe to our podcast and recommend it to all your little designer friends. Tune in to our next episode when we'll dip our toes in another piece of frequently heard feedback. Until then, we're off to soak our bunions. This has been Well, You're the Designer, a Solo Press podcast hosted by me, Danny Powell, with designers Richard Kemp.
That is absolutely 100% true.
And Matt Bruti.
True.
Recorded and produced by Poppy Productions and brought to you by solopress.com.